Republican candidates trade punches in South Carolina. Voters just want to know what they'll do for the economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. The five remaining Republican candidates looking to be president are on the campaign trail in South Carolina after a heated debate in Myrtle Beach, where the national economy got a lot of the attention. So far, the primary fight has taken place in states where the economy is better off than most of the rest of the country. But in South Carolina, unemployment is worse. 1 in 10 South Carolinians can't find a job. And that economic reality looms large as voters try to make up their mind before Saturday's primary. From station WFAE, Julie Rose reports.
You can find a pretty good sample of South Carolina voters in the parking lot of a dollar store these days. Nobody's willing to pass up a bargain with unemployment the way it is around here.
I have a master's degree, and I can't find a teaching position in South Carolina for anything. So,
Republican Katie Smith has been without steady work for the past 3 years. So, yeah, the economy is the big issue for her this election, but she's stumped about the primary.
I don't believe that there is a candidate that's going to do anything for our economy.
I just feel like there's no legit candidate that I feel like I can trust.
Hardly a ringing endorsement there from Jay Thurman, who's also a Republican. He's hung on to his sales job through the recession, but is worried about the national debt. The candidates are hitting all the right notes for South Carolina conservatives, promising to cut spending, limit regulation, and get people back to work. Polls show Mitt Romney in the lead, but more than a third of voters say they're still undecided or open to changing their minds before Saturday. I'm Julie Rose for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. Markets around the world are up this morning, in some cases way up, boosted by an 8.9% growth rate in China's economy. We've got mixed results from the financial sector this morning. Citigroup says its fourth quarter income slipped 11%. Wells Fargo's fourth quarter profit rose 20%. Wall Street was closed yesterday for the holiday. The Dow finished last week at 12,422. Today is the last day to submit public comments to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau on private student loans. As part of Wall Street reform, the government is looking at predatory lending practices. The Bureau has a new head with a new set of priorities. Richard Cordray was appointed by President Obama earlier this month. He joins us now. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
So the first public probe from your office is into mortgage insurance and illegal kickbacks. Can you tell me more about what is at the top of your agenda in this new role?
Number one, we are going to continue with our already fairly robust Know Before You Owe program to try to simplify the terms and the statements that consumers have about credit card agreements, about mortgages, the home loan application that you fill out when you go to get a mortgage, and about student loans. Second, we have launched our non-bank supervision program.
Let me jump in here and ask, just can you explain what a non-bank is and why it's a priority?
Sure. It's any institution that's offering a financial product or service, such as a mortgage or a student loan or a payday loan or check cashing service, but does not actually have a bank charter. To a consumer, that's often not obvious. The non-bank might call itself a finance company or something like that. To most of us, well, that sounds very similar to a bank, but it might be subject to no regulation and therefore might be quite unscrupulous. So you can't have a market in which some people are regulated and some people aren't. It doesn't work.
Now, we keep hearing how tight credit is in the country right now and that it's slowing economic growth. Is there any chance that investigations from your office could exacerbate that problem?
I think that, frankly, if you look at tight credit in this country, the main reason it's tight is because we had a financial meltdown. The financial meltdown was caused by the fact that you had markets that were partly regulated, partly unregulated. They didn't work, and it led to a catastrophic economic ruin for many people in this country. If we can avoid that in the future, that's the best thing we can do to get the credit markets working for the long term and on a sustainable basis.
Richard Cordray heads the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location offering a workforce that's well-educated, smart, and driven. More at investni.com/invest. By GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
Hollywood may be getting a new labor union. After years of courting, the two main actors' unions have worked out a deal to tie the knot. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more.
The proposed merger would combine the Screen Actors Guild, known as SAG, with the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, or AFTRA. SAG traditionally represented film actors. AFTRA's members are television actors, as well as radio DJs and broadcast journalists. The merged SAG-AFTRA would negotiate for all of them. As the entertainment industry has evolved, the two unions have had a lot of overlap. Gary Chason teaches labor relations at Clark University's Graduate School of Management.
I think the key question here is why not merge? They share a large number of members. The unions are being challenged by new technologies in the industry. I think they see that they have a brighter future as a combined organization than they might as separate organizations.
Another effort to join forces failed 9 years ago. In 2008, AFTRA pulled out of a bargaining partnership with SAG and signed its own deal with TV producers. Chason says this time the push to merge is coming from members. The boards of the two unions will meet later this month to vote on the deal. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, for those of us who can't be troubled with cooking or waiting in those terribly time-consuming fast food drive-through lanes, Burger King wants to make your home the home of the Whopper. According to USA Today, the fast food chain is testing home delivery. No word on how or if they're managing to avoid soggy fries. And sorry to disappoint, but they don't deliver breakfast. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Remember Mr. Rogers and those factory tours he did during the heyday of U.S. manufacturing?
I'd like to show you some people making crayons. Let's come along. I have a film of it here.
I'm Tess Vigeland. We'll hear what happened to some of those factories next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.